He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
I stepped outside today, and there was a cold breeze. It's a cool breeze. I am wearing a long sleeve shirt. This is my favorite time of the year. Give me hoodie and shorts weather all day, like all year long.
I mean, this is the best time of year. I agree with that. Yeah. The end of summer, beginning of fall is the best time of year. Not only for weather purposes, we still
sports
need that sun.
Too.
Yes. The NFL has started. College football has started. Basketball is getting ready to kick off. If you are so inclined, hockey is starting, I think, today, actually.
Yeah.
And if you're so inclined, you know, the baseball playoffs are getting going. So,
or if you have a team that ever makes the playoffs, which the vast majority of you who are listening to this right now, I would imagine, are Dodgers fans. So,
yeah, didn't you say something? Who was it? Was it Plachke that said, you know, basically predicted the Dodgers were going to win the whole thing? And that made you fret, let's call it.
I don't say this lightly, but I hope he stubbed his toe right after he fired off that headline. Can't we just start with, like, I think it's going to be a good series against Arizona. I think the Braves are really effing good. The Phillies just beat the ever-living piss out of the Marlins. They look kind of terrifying if they're going to figure it all out. We aren't, like, why do we have to fly all the way
The Marlins are in it? Or were in it, I guess?
Were, yeah. The state of Florida.
What is going on?
The state of Florida made
Tampa got destroyed, right?
Yeah, the state of Florida's had two teams in the playoffs and won zero games.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen that bad a performance from Florida since January 6th. But all right, let's go ahead and move on. And
I haven't seen that bad of a performance since Dame Lillard trade negotiations out of Florida.
Oof, tough month. Tough month for the state of Florida.
Although, to be fair, Joy Taylor and I are really, really close friends. And
yeah.
She's a Miami Hurricanes fan and is also a Miami Dolphins fan. And so for a while, she was kept putting it out there. Like, if you have, hey Alexis, if you have two undefeated football teams, because the U and the Dolphins, who got their asses kicked on Sunday, were undefeated. So Miami's football is doing all right. Florida's football, Jacksonville's been in, but Florida's football's been all right. Tampa's been good. Tampa Bay's been good.
We are not going to be talking about Miami all show. We enjoyed that the last time that we got together. But today, the reason that you and I are getting together, Aaron,
is because it's Thursday.
About like 48-ish hours, I would say. You know, little.
It is. I can tell you exactly what it is. 53 hours and 25 minutes.
Yeah. The Lakers will be kicking off their NBA.
That's wrong. Preseason. 55 hours and 25 minutes.
My bad. I'm not good at math. And I am here to tell you, everybody who is listening, everybody, whether you're listening live on YouTube right now, whether you're listening to us when this publishes, everywhere that you get your podcast feeds, please subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff on all of those platforms. We are like 5 subscribers from 1,000.
Go get the channel to 1,000 on YouTube.
Get us to 1,000.
I'm coming to your house to put hands on you if you don't subscribe immediately while listening to this.
I'm not above begging is the thing.
I'm not above violence. You can beg. I don't beg. I threaten violence, apparently. That's how I get things done.
We also just found plugins on our StreamYard that allows us to clean up our appearance. So I look the best I've looked in at least 15 years.
I look damn good anyway, subscribe on
YouTube. But the reason we are getting here together, Aaron, is I am willing.
I'm contractually obligated.
Is that? Okay, but the secondary reason that we are here today,
the content reason, yes,
to tell everybody, as we are, like you said, 55 hours and change away from this preseason kicking off.
I'm so excited. I've actually been watching. I've been watching that terrible Mavs.
I was going to, but it is blacked out.
What?
We're off to a great start.
Oh, I'm in Texas. Yeah.
Off to a phenomenal start.
No NBA TV for you, huh?
Okay. Yeah. Well, no, I turned on NBA TV, but it wasn't.
No, that's what I mean. No NBA TV for you for this game. Right.
Yeah.
The commentary is terrible, but.
Yeah. But yeah, we are, I am willing to open up my heart, open my arms. I'm like Creed with arms wide open to tell everybody.
You're like
white people stuff.
Oh, all right. Got it.
Is
that a song?
It is. What
was that?
Is
Creed a song or is it a band?
Creed is the band. Okay. And
their singer sounds like that?
Yeah. It's like
and people like throat. This?
That, well, I don't know why.
Okay. All right. I've never heard of. I don't know what a Creed is or who Creed is or okay.
But open your hearts, everybody. Be optimistic. The Lakers are going to be good. I think they're going to be legitimately good.
Okay.
I think the roster makes sense. It's deep.
I agree.
The stars are bought in to the concept of continuity and camaraderie.
Yeah.
They are bought into the head coach, who is probably more experienced than any other second-year head coach in the history of basketball.
You
consider everything that he was put through last season.
Yeah,
I think Darvin Ham is really well equipped.
Injuries, yeah.
Multiple Russ
playoff series, yeah.
Yeah, I think this year, I think ball. You have a front office. I think that has found its footing, and the guys on this roster are their guys. So I don't feel like I'm concerned that they're going to prioritize other guys over their guy or their guys over other guys. That is not something we have to worry about. I really like this roster. It's really versatile up and down. I can't believe I'm saying this, and I'm terrified that I'm saying this because this never ends well. But I am very optimistic that this Lakers team is going to be a top five team in the league with a puncher's chance at winning a series against absolutely anybody.
Yeah, so I guess we're done.
Yeah, all right. We'll see everybody.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, we usually talk for 2 hours and 7 minutes, and this one's done in 7 minutes. Yes. I don't have much. I mean, there's still some questions, right? There are always questions. But those questions this time are not like systemic
crippling
kind of stuff. Yeah. they're not these like macro levels. Oh God, what do we do to solve this big problem? Whether it's, trading Russ or whether it's playing Pat Bev at three because all the best guys on the team are little guys. It's not how do all these new guys that have never shaken hands before mesh on a basketball floor. There are questions, right? Like who's going to be the fifth starter is a question. Playing two bigs is going to be a question. How much time is there too much of a load on AD defensively? How much is LeBron going to be asked to create? How much is fair to ask of him defensively? But these are like very, in the grand scheme of things, these are very small questions, and they do not have to use your word. They're not like season crippling questions, season altering questions. I do still think that too much is being required of Anthony Davis defensively. I think that is the big, I think the Lakers' biggest possible pitfall this season is what happens to the defense in moments that AD is not on the floor or, God forbid he gets hurt or whatever. I'm not sure the Lakers have the roster to put together even like a middle of the road defense in the times that AD sits, but like that's fair of lots of teams, right? That is not that if that's your biggest worry, what do you do when the best defensive player on planet Earth isn't on the floor? Hopefully in games that matter, that's for 5 to 7, 8 minutes. I think you're doing pretty well. So I would not
even
put the Lakers.
Even on that front, that is one of the easier things, I think, to address. Not fix, but like a shot blocking, rim protecting, rim running type big. Like Bismack Biyombo is still out there right
there. You go.
Like he is still there.
So it is hard to, because so much is being asked of AD, and because he makes up for, because he's so good, specifically in the ways that he is so good. He's an elite shot blocker, but he is also an elite help defender. He's also capable of switching. And you are allowed a lot of roster flexibility, not roster flexibility, lineup flexibility, because AD can make up for so many things. And again, it kind of ties into the LeBron question. You know, there are going to be times where LeBron won't or simply can't give the requisite full effort on individual defensive possessions. And, you know, D'Lo's not any good at the point of attack. Gabe fights, but he's small. Austin fights. Austin's fine. You know, like Rui is not great. So, but AD like washes all of that away. Like AD makes up for all sins defensively. So I think the Lakers are going to have to be very, very intentional about their lineups when AD is not there. Cause there's nobody available, maybe in trade later on down the line, but there's nobody as a free agent available that you can say, this dude can like even reasonably approximate what AD can do. Cause there's like three of those dudes on planet Earth. So I think, but I do think you mentioned that the depth of the lineup of the team, the roster, and the versatility. I do think if the Lakers are intentional about lineup construction when AD is not, I mean, always, but when AD is not on the floor, hopefully that defense will be good enough to kind of just hold down the fort. The problem is Christian Wood and Jackson Hayes both have some tools to be capable defenders. They just haven't done it yet. And we're going to find out, as I've said before, you know, can't, won't, or don't know how. This year, we're going to find out which of those it is.
I was also going to say, as it pertains to the center thing and the team struggling when AD goes out, I think that they kind of stumbled into, at least for the regular season, I think come postseason, it's something that is going to matter quite a bit more. But by that time, I think it can be addressed on you know, in some way, shape, or form. But last year, when AD went out, was missing for however long he was gone.
20 games, I think it was.
The Lakers just kind of dipped into an identity where it was just like, okay, we'll just score a whole bunch. We'll just spread you out, and Thomas Bryant played really good basketball. Offensively. And yeah, well, but that's the thing, though, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They basically just kind of said, like, yeah, Thomas Bryant, it can barely stay in front of his own shadow. Like, that's... it's really difficult for him to stop nosebleeds, but he is very offensively gifted big. Yeah. And the Lakers had a ton of offensive talent this year, have a ton of offensive talent. So essentially when AD sits this season, the Lakers are just going to go, we'll just score a bunch. Well, you know, our identity. When
AD just that sits, easy. Cool. We'll just score. Cool. Well,
but I think in the regular season, that's a lot easier to do, right?
But like, why not? Like, so why not just
no
score
team
a bunch
is always? Like, no team is going to game plan for Christian Wood. No, you know, those minutes when Christian Wood is
offensively. You mean if AD's out, or you mean
if AD's out, like those, no team is going to, like, on a random Wednesday night in the middle of February, no team is going to be like, all right, we really have to focus on the minutes when AD is out. And
I thought you were saying like when AD misses time, God forbid, due to
no, I mean sitting.
In the moments where absolutely not. No. If AD's playing Christian Wood is on the scouting report. He is that good offensively.
Yeah.
But no, he is not towards the top.
Yeah. And by the way, like Christian Wood would be out there, and I would imagine Vanderbilt would be out there to help with the defense on the perimeter in those minutes that AD is out. Gabe Vincent, I would imagine, is going to be in those minutes when AD is out, because he's your steadiest perimeter defender of the three of him, Russell and Reeves. I think so.
I think Austin's better, but
I think you'll probably have Christie out there.
Yeah, I was going to say Max is a key to all of this, and Torian Prince can guard too.
Yeah, and I think like that is a bench unit, can score, can defend enough to be like what you basically want is just. Don't be a complete and utter disaster in those like 3 to 4 minutes per game where both LeBron and AD are sitting, you know, and And even there, I think Darvin has shown that he, if he absolutely has to, in bigger games during the regular season, will stagger LeBron and AD so that those guys, that there aren't those minutes in very important games that those guys are both not in the game. It was something that like drove me insane at the beginning of the season, but by the time we got to a point where the Lakers like were playing must win games, I felt a little more confident that a rookie head coach had kind of figured that out a little bit more. And then the nice thing about having a deep roster is you're going to have a bunch of desirable players on the market when it comes time to consolidate the roster and get ready for a postseason run, when you're going up against teams like Boston or Milwaukee or Denver
that are just in the finals already, huh?
Well, no, I mean like when you're playing, when you're like, cause those teams, the other teams in that tier, right, in that 4-5-ish team tier.
So I wanted to talk
are a lot more top heavy. They're a lot more top heavy, right? Like yeah. Phoenix, extremely top heavy. Denver, more top heavy than they were last year. The obviously Milwaukee and Boston both consolidated their rosters.
More top heavy than Phoenix at this point.
Yeah, and but that's what I mean though, is that the Lakers are, I think, the only team really in that top tier that has a nice deep regular season roster that can be consolidated with purpose by the time you get to the point where you need that consolidated roster and you need to be top heavy because you need your absolute, your 95 mile an hour fastball has to jump up to 103 mile an hour fastball.
I guess it depends on your tiers. But I did want to say that I think that the last week or so, whatever it is, the Drew stuff and Dame, I think for me has put Milwaukee and Boston on the Denver tier. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I've talked about this before in whatever order you want, but I think that the next tier is Lakers, Phoenix, Warriors, and that's it. And again, I think those are the only six teams that can win the title. So I would not put the Lakers on that first tier, but you saying they have a chance, a puncher's chance in every series. And I do think, and I agree with that. I think they have better than a puncher's chance in every series. And this was the talking point.
And that's as currently equipped. I think by the time we get to the, by the time we get there, I think there are moves that can be made that puts them.
So everybody's going to be on my head, but the team of my youth, I think the Warriors are also very, very deep and have a chance to consolidate if necessary. But if you are going into the season and the Lakers have quite a bit of optionality once December 15th and then January 15th hit, as far as trading. And to your point earlier, the front office has done, do they get an A-, like somewhere up there, B+, A-, A, since the Russ trade in all of the moves, the drafting, the trading, the free agent signings, putting the roster together. I think so at this point, I think you have to have a good amount of faith in if something needs to happen later in the season with trading. I think you feel pretty good about it.
I want to talk about Max. Okay. It's been like a few weeks since I specifically talked about him. I'm like itching, you know.
By the way, I thought you were going to mention the Warriors as the other team with the depth, so I wasn't going to have to say it.
I'm not bought in on the Warriors. I saw a headline the other day or a report that Steve Kerr is going to have Klay Thompson guarding fours, and I was like, all right, we're good here. The only reason anybody has him in that tier is because Steph is that kind of special, but the rest of that roster is a freaking mess. It's a mess.
I mean, you don't have to like it as much as the Lakers roster, but I wouldn't call it a mess.
It's a mess. It's a mess because I don't know that, like, is Kerr going to finally trust Kuminga? Because if he's talking about, like, if he's talking about Klay guarding fours, that indicates that he watched Kuminga in camp. He's like, all right, yeah.
No. You know what? Kuminga is kind of like, defensively, like Vando. He does his best work.
No, like, I know. I'm just
squared up with a point guard. Like, I'm going to stay in front of Ja or whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
I picture, like, Kurt walking to camp and watch, like, Rudy Gay try to play some defense. He's like, yeah, Klay, you're going to have to guard LeBron.
The other part of that is, unfortunately, the other part of that is what Klay was so good at previously, guarding ones and guarding on the wing, his body just doesn't – the injuries have taken that from him. So,
yeah.
He's still big, he's still strong, but and he's still good defensively. He just he can't stay with guys like he used to be able to. None of this matters.
They were too small last year against the Lakers, and they got smaller.
No, they didn't get smaller. They were too small. They were too small against the Lakers last year, but they did not get smaller.
They did. Chris Paul is, I think, shorter than Jordan Poole.
Okay, fine, cool. Yes, you're right about that.
And Dario Saric is their backup center behind Looney. And
Dario can play. I think he can
play offense, but like AD is going to use him as a toothpick.
AD is going to use everybody as a toothpick,
but what? Especially Saric. Like it was. Did you see that moment?
Although he did give Looney trouble.
Yeah, but did you see the moment that AD was talking about like on Spectrum? Where he was like, we just like randomly grabbed on Christian Wood's defense.
Like, yes, I did. Yes.
Like he's going to do exactly that to Saric. Like he's in that kind of group.
What I was going to say is the puncher's chance thing. I think the Lakers have better than a puncher's chance.
Yeah. All right.
Because of how well put together I think the roster is, which you've been alluding to. And Zach Lowe, who I think is the best there is at this sort of thing that you and I pretend to do for a living, made a really good point about the puncher's chance thing. Like, it seems like a puncher's chance is a good descriptor. Like, oh, we have a puncher's chance in any series. The problem, though, is in the NBA, you have to do that four times. So the Lakers had last year a puncher's chance, right? Because LeBron and AD give you a puncher's chance, period. But like a puncher's chance four times, you're just like, that's not going to work. Which is what happened, right? The Lakers, I think the Lakers were favored against Memphis and should have been. I think they were not favored against the Warriors and obviously not against the Nuggets. But you could consider the first two series kind of toss-ups, you know, puncher's chance, hey, like, we'll take their best shot. Mm-hmm. And that can work a couple times. But you have to be the better team. To win four series in a row is really hard. Like, a puncher's chance, whether it's 1-10 or 1-5 or whatever, that's not going to work four times. So I think the Lakers have LeBron and AD by themselves gives you a chance against anybody. But I do think that because of the roster, the way that the roster is constructed, and maybe, you know, a consolidation move should or could be made to, you know, try to get one more high-end piece for the playoffs specifically, because the Lakers do, I think the Lakers have, you know, D'Lo is a top 40, 50 player in the regular season, but has some things that once you get to the playoffs can specifically be picked on.
Yeah.
It's not, and D'Lo's a damn good player. But so if you can get another guy, I think the Lakers could use another guy in the backcourt or maybe on the wing that does not have a playoff weakness. And so I think that would take the Lakers from in the conversation to among the favorites.
They need a fifth guy in that final lineup, right? You have Austin, you have Rui, I think is a playoff performer.
Are you sure? He certainly was last year.
And then obviously you have LeBron and AD who are you know, your stars. They need a fifth player who completes their best lineup that goes toe-to-toe with Denver's starting lineup, Boston's starting group, Milwaukee's starting group. I don't know.
You're out on the Warriors and Phoenix.
Yeah, well, because for different reasons, obviously they're different teams. But like Phoenix reminds me not in terms of, you know, they aren't a apples to apples comparison, but they have a similar problem that the Lakers had in the first Russ season, where it was Melo and Russ and LeBron and AD and. In like that, they started every game by saying like the Lakers have 14 All-Stars on their roster.
Yeah,
like, yeah, and but like that team didn't have anybody, especially on the perimeter, who did the small things. You know, defended at all. You know, and Phoenix has that same problem. Now they're so offensively dynamic that it won't matter in the regular season. But come time where like. You're hoping Bradley Beal defends in a way that he hasn't defended in like half a decade.
No, never.
You're asking Devin Booker to be your primary initiator on offense and then also guard the other team's best perimeter player. That seems like a lot. you don't have an anchor anymore because they traded Ayton and Nurkic isn't that. So, like, I just think they're really going to struggle in close games against good teams to get stops. And I'm sorry. I know that we're living in this offensive revolution in the NBA, but you do need to get stops in the playoffs, you know, especially when you're playing against teams that are as defensively dynamic as Boston is going to be, as the Lakers could potentially be. I think that Denver is not there defensively. But they are so effing good offensively.
I agree with you, but there are not many guys in the league that can put the pressure on. Yeah, I agree, Justin. There are not a lot of guys in the league that can pick at the Nuggets' possible still weakness. We haven't seen it yet. They're like half court standard defense against normal NBA offenses is okay. It's good enough, as we saw, obviously. But I'm interested to see if, again, I'm still interested to see if Joker in a playoff series can guard a Dame type, a Trae Young type, a Steph type. I mean, those are really the three, and really it's only Dame and Steph. But one of those type of guys that can just turn him into a pretzel on the perimeter and watch him. And maybe he can. Maybe he's improved enough because he's just been big enough and smart enough that standing by the basket it is rim protection. It's not shot blocking in the way we normally think of rim protection. But it is rim protection in another
it's like sense. Building I guess, a wall, essentially.
Exactly. But you know what's so? But let's play this out though. The Lakers home opener on the 26th. I think it's Thursday. The 26th is against Phoenix. So yes, I do worry some about the Suns' defense more so now with Nurkic. But if we're going to play this the other way, and I think this is instructive in helping to decide the fifth starter for the Lakers, give me the matchups. Defensively, who are the Lakers guarding? Who are you? You're Coach Irwin. You have replaced Coach Ham. The opener went so poorly that Darvin Ham has been fired in between games, and you have taken over. So who are your matchups? Because this is like, I do think Phoenix is going to have some trouble guarding people.
The Lakers went from Coach Ham to a coach who looks like a ham, like a holiday ham.
I mean, you look like a well-rested ham with this great radio button that you've clicked on StreamYard to smooth our appearances. So at least you look like a well-rested and possibly glazed, like ready for Thanksgiving.
See, now ham. I'm hungry. Now I could really go for like that. That those holiday ham sandwiches are the best. Those are so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, the honey baked ham. Yeah, with their special like champagne mustard. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you're saying you want me to match up against Phoenix?
Yeah.
All right. So I would have. See this.
So I'm going to say I'm going to say this is my guess. I don't know the answer to this, but I'm going to say the Suns' fifth starter is Eric Gordon. So now, who you got?
All right. So I would have. Vanderbilt matched up against Booker.
Okay, so now you've already answered the question. Mm-hmm. Vando is starting for you.
Well, no, I mean like you're asking me to match up with. So whether starting or finishing or whatever, but
starting lineup.
Okay,
it's the second game of the year, right? Mm-hmm. You're starting it out, and the reason why I'm saying this is one to show you that Phoenix is scary, but also because I do think it's instructive in trying to figure out who the Lakers' fifth starter should be.
Yeah, I think
and the first dude you mentioned is Vando. So
yeah, so I think Eric Gordon, D'Angelo Russell just kind of wash each other out, right? They're going to be looking to do similar things. So there's your starting point guard.
D'Lo on Gordon. Okay.
You have, like I said, Vanderbilt against Booker. Okay. I think you have. Man, this would be so cool if it actually happens. But I think you have LeBron against KD.
Oh God, no.
Huh?
Oh God, no.
Well, I mean, what else are you going to do?
AD
against KD? But see,
LeBron, you got Nurk.
What makes me nervous there, though, is, and I guess you could do that, but what makes me kind of nervous there, though, is you're pulling the Lakers' best shot, rim protector, rebounder, completely away from the basket, and he cannot roam at all. So I would rather risk having LeBron get torched by KD than move AD away from the basket. So I would have AD on Nurk.
LeBron's in his 904th season.
Yeah.
Like, we're just like, just this is my point. Just game two. Here you go. Mm-hmm. Your guard. Here we go. You've got KD. Enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't happen.
I would.
Oh, God.
I would.
Oh, no, Anthony. No,
I would. And then I would. And then I would have Reeves on Beal, who I forgot about. But yeah.
That would... yeah. That, And look, those are some not great.
It's like I said.
Yeah.
But all right. How are these? Who are these people guarding on the Lakers?
That is fair. You know? The Lakers are not that offensively talented individually.
Sure. And then that's in the that lineup is playing out there together. Like any time you're mixing and matching any of those. What's that?
There's no Rui, so you've cut the offensive talent down already.
Sure, but like you're talking about 20 or so minutes that those five guy lineups are out there together, and I'm saying as soon as Phoenix goes to the bench at all, like Phoenix's bench against the Lakers, are you kidding me?
No, Phoenix's bench is it's better. No, look, it's better than I thought it was going to be, but it's not great.
It is not great. And they could try to stagger all that stuff, but none of those guys are good enough defensively where staggering them would even help. Like none of those, you're going to have Booker is putting the clamps down on Austin in the pick and roll while
Booker can guard now.
No, but I'm saying that like all right, Austin is probably going to have the ball in the pick and roll.
D'Lo first, but yes, Austin will also.
Yeah, and depending on who they have guarding there, so whoever shit, I mean Eric Gordon in the pick and roll against, he's going to be navigating screens. Depending on who Booker isn't guarding, Nurk gets to
kind of relax on Vando. I think that's how they do it.
But then you have KD guarding AD.
Yeah.
What? That terrifies me.
KD's taller than him.
Sure, but like...
AD's a damn good offensive player.
What AD like? Just talked yesterday about how he's focused on punishing smaller guys, right? He threw Christian
smaller.
Wood under the bus.
He's not
and
smaller.
He is,
Christian yeah, Wood's and, smaller than him. KD is not. KD is legitimately 7'1".
KD's given up like a good 40 pounds on AD.
KD's given up some weight. KD has yeah. given up some. But my point is, that's why like I think you're underrating Phoenix, and I think it's very interesting. It's interesting to me, at least, that immediately. So I talked about this. True and I were on All Access Lakers last night, and we talked about how coaches tend towards solving problems either offensively or defensively. Right, when you go like if something's not going well, you default to one side or the other.
Yeah,
Darvin. A lot of newer coaches, like Joe Mazzulla yesterday or last year, defaulted offense. And we were talking about this in relation to whether Ham's philosophy is to kind of play small, which seems like you're solving problems with offense. Although, unfortunately, the Lakers played small.
It Darvin had that clip that sent Lakers fans off the handle the other day where he was like, you know, we could even go three guards with LeBron at the five. And I just saw Twitter like, no!
Well, so no! This is Jackson Hayes and Christian Wood. I think this officially eliminates the LeBron at five thing, or at least in my opinion should.